Good morning. We're continuing our series on the I Am's of Jesus. The last one will be the last Sunday of October. I hope that you've been as encouraged as I have from these texts. It's good to remember sometimes where you were before you came to Christ and where you are now. And as Wayne talked about at the table, when you think about all that he's done for us, what great love that is. The text this morning is out of John 11, verses 25 through 27. Very familiar text. If you've been reading scripture very long, I know you're very familiar with this chapter. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Father, I thank you for your truth. Your word is truth. I thank you for the encouragement you have left here for us to hang on to and hold on to help develop our faith and to build us up in Jesus Christ. I thank you for the great love that you showed to us, for we were not your people, but now we can be called the people of God because this was good in your sight, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. I ask your blessing as we study this text. Lord, just lift us up and encourage us. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. As I said, you're probably everyone in here is very familiar with this text. Jesus was in one place and a messenger came and said, "Your friend Lazarus, whom you love, is sick." And it said the Lord stayed 2 days. And when he got ready to go, his disciples said they were looking to stone you. And Jesus said, "Well, our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I'm going to go wake him up." And the disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll do well. You know, just let him sleep." They had threatened to stone the Lord, and I imagine the disciples were a little anxious about going back into that area. And it said Jesus plainly said, "Lazarus is dead, and I'm going there, you know, that I can wake him up." And he said, "I'm glad that I wasn't there." That seems like a harsh thing to say. Lazarus is dead and I'm glad I wasn't there. You know, I've told you before, I don't believe in the soul sleep doctrine. I've read it, listened to the arguments, but it's not scriptural. Now, the scriptures talk about death is sleep, and this is my opinion. I'm not a great theologian or anything, but from what I gather in the scripture, death is so final to us. When we bury our loved ones, we say goodbye, and there's this hole in us, this grief that no one who has never experienced it, you can't explain to them, the grief and the sorrow. And to us, there's a finality. You know, when we bury our loved ones, I'll never see them again. I'll never hear their voice again. I'll never laugh with them again, never talk to them again. But God looks at death different than you and I. He says, "No, they're just asleep. One day he's going to wake them up." So when the Bible speaks about death being sleep, it's not a soul sleep. Paul said for us to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. I just read in the Word the other day that Paul told the church of Corinth, God's going to bring those with him who have fallen asleep in Christ when he comes back. Well, where are they? They must be with him. That's the way I feel. They must be with him if God's bringing them with him. He didn't say God's going to stop at the spirit world on the way and unload a bunch of them and bring them down. I think they're there. Well, Jesus loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha, loved them very much, and he waited, and when he got there, he found out Lazarus had already been dead for 4 days, already been in the grave 4 days, And Martha heard he was there, and understandably, she went out to see him, and she was a little upset. She was grieving, and she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And this is where we come into the text today. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who believes, lives and believes in me shall never die. Then he asked her a question. Do you believe this? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. Do I believe this? I think it takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to be a Christian. For somebody to say there is no God, there was a gigantic explosion 6 billion years ago. All these gases stuff formed, and that's where we came from. Well, I don't believe we came from gases, although I've known some gassy people in my time, but I don't think that's where we originated. And to me, it takes more faith to believe that than to believe that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's too ordered. God gave us life. He takes life. Jesus said, I hold the keys of hell and death. I'm glad he's holding them. I can trust him. Jesus asked Mary, do you believe this? And she said, yeah, I believe that you're the Christ. I often wondered how Peter felt. If you read the Gospels, Peter confessed that before Martha, and Jesus pronounced a blessing on him. He said, you've shown that you're blessed because flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father. And I kind of mad, no, Peter went, did you hear that, guys? I'm blessed. You're not blessed, but I'm blessed. None of you guys answered the question, but I'm blessed. I answered the question. And they get to Lazarus' grave, and Martha says, I believe you're the Christ, the Son of God. I often wonder if that didn't take Peter down a peg or make him realize that God is no respecter of persons. Peter had to have understood that God revealed that to her. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Now, I've heard people take that text and try to make a doctrine out of it that doesn't fit, as far as I'm concerned. But Jesus did say that. When you're praying for the lost, especially your loved ones, ask God to open their eyes. Ask God to take that veil off their hearts that the devil has placed there. The Bible very plainly says Satan has put a veil over their hearts so they won't believe the gospel. Well, you and I can't pull the veil away, but he sure can. That's how we need to pray. God, take that veil off. God, open their eyes. God, draw them to the Lord Jesus. Okay, I know I got on a rabbit trail, but I won't charge you for that. John said, in Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. If you remember, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, the religious leaders were very upset at the way Jesus was talking, and he healed a guy on the Sabbath, and that just irritated them. That broke their tradition. You wasn't supposed to do anything on the Sabbath, I guess including doing good. And Jesus had healed a man, and Jesus said, for as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. And then he went on to say, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. Now, that's a big claim. You know, I talk about the things that the Lord said demands a verdict on our part. As Jesus said to Martha, do you believe this? That's quite a claim for a man to make. The historian Josephus talked about Jesus. He said there was a man from Nazareth named Jesus, if it would be lawful to call him a man, who went about doing mighty deeds. And he said he was a preacher of the truth, and he drew men to him who loved the truth. That's a historical fact. That's a documented fact. And this guy wasn't a Christian. But he himself said, Jesus done all these wonderful deeds. Well, he's just fixing to do another one. Now, when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees here, he was speaking of two resurrections. One day, when I was reading about Lazarus, I thought that'd been so cool to be there and see him come out of that grave. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I raise the dead every day. I thought, I'd like to see the dead raised. He said, I raise them every day. And then I was reading this passage one day and I got it. Before you came to Christ, you were dead. You just didn't have the good grace to lay down somewhere. You were spiritually dead. You were dead to God. You were dead to the things of God. You were dead to the Word of God. Jesus said, those who hear. He's not talking about those who listen with their ear. What does that mean? Those who receive. Those who believe what I say. Jesus said, the dead who hear me will live. He's talking about a spiritual resurrection, what we term as being born again. Out of John chapter 3. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and I think he perfectly described what happens with the new birth. He says, and you were dead in the trespasses and in sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, we all know who that is, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. I love this. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How many of you know that's all God? Yeah, not by works. Paul didn't say that the God looked down and said, well, some of them's good enough. I'm going to go ahead and let them be saved. He said, we were dead. That's what Jesus was saying to the Pharisees. You know what he was telling the Pharisees? You're dead. You think you know God, you think you love God, you think you obey God, you're dead to God. And if you'll listen to me, you'll live. You remember one of the I Am's? Unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. That's still the truth, church. I've heard many people over the years say, well, I believe Jesus was a great prophet, or he was a good moral teacher, that he was a righteous man. That won't get you into heaven. Jesus said, unless you believe I'm the one I claim to be. Now that's what we're looking at, the I Am's of Jesus. Who does Jesus claim to be? That's what's important. And when you hear this, when you read this, when you consider this, you need to ask yourself the same question Jesus asked Martha. Do I believe this? We're going to do what we believe. We're going to say what we believe. Okay? Jesus asked Martha, do you believe this? She said, yeah, I believe you're the Christ. That was a good confession. But she didn't say, well, I believe you can raise him from the dead. Now, I don't blame her for that. That's a big thing. Now, Jesus raised four people from the dead that we know of. I think there were more that weren't written down. There was Jairus' daughter. You remember the synagogue ruler? He raised her from the dead. The widow of Nain's son. Jesus raised him from the dead. Lazarus, who we're talking about today, and Jesus himself. Earlier in John's gospel, you know, the Pharisees, they was always trying to pick a fight with Jesus. They watched him like a hawk. And every time they thought he did something wrong, they were right there. You ever meet people like that? I have. It seems like they just wait for you to do something. So, and they love to be the first to tell you what you did. And these guys always were trying to pick a scrap with Jesus. I'll put it in hillbilly. They was trying to scrap with him. They tried to discredit him. They tried to make him look bad. And when he drove the money changers out of the temple, it said he made a cord of whips and he whipped them and drove them out and the animals. And the Pharisees said, what sign are you going to show? Jesus said, you destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it. That's another reason I don't believe in soul sleep. If Jesus was in an unconscious state, he couldn't have done that. But what did he say? I will raise this temple. You remember what the Jews said? Well, it's taken 46 years to build this temple. You're going to do it in 3 days. And they thought it was funny. John said, but he was speaking about the temple of his body. And after he was raised again, his disciples remembered that he said that, and they believed him and they believed the scriptures. Now, as I said, Jesus was talking about a spiritual resurrection. Now, I'm going to try to pull all this together, so don't think, man, this dude's chasing rabbits. I should have stayed home and watched TV. I'm going to try to bring it all back together. There are two kinds of resurrection. One you can experience now while you're still breathing. That's the spiritual resurrection, only through Jesus Christ. Paul said that God has raised us to a newness of life. Do you have a new life? I got a new life, yeah. I'm not the guy I was 40 years ago, praise God. I got to witness to the Wright County Sheriff one time. And I was in his living room telling him about Jesus Christ, and he said, you know, years ago I thought you were either going to be dead or in prison or buried in a prison graveyard somewhere. But he said, something's happened to you. I didn't go, yeah. I said, Jesus happened. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Some people think I brag about my past. I'm not bragging about me. I'm bragging about the Lord. I know what I was. I had no illusions about who I was and where I was going, and I thought there was no hope. I thought I was beyond salvation. But one night in February of 1984, I fell on my knees and I cried out to God and he heard me. And Jesus reached down and touched me and he killed that old man and he raised me to a new life. He's the life giver. Yes. I was talking to a legalistic Christian one time. He was talking about all his works and all of what he believed and very condemning. And I said, let me ask you a question. What has Jesus Christ done in your life in the last year? And he sat there and went, well, I really can't put my finger on anything. I said, I can. Now, I'm not bragging on me. I said, what has he done in your life in the last week? Well, I really don't know that I could put my finger on any one thing. I said, I can. The longer I'm saved, the more I see my need for a Savior. Yeah. The closer I get to that light, the more wretched I see myself. I have not arrived. But I walk by faith, and I'm covered with the blood of Jesus, and God saved me by His grace. Yes, He's a life changer. He's a life giver. Out with the old, in with the new. Now the Apostle Paul talked about the new life in Christ. Romans chapter 6, you're familiar with that text. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may abound? God forbid. How are we who have died to sin to live in it any longer? Or don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him in baptism, that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too would walk in newness of life. I've been called a water regenerationist. I'm not a water regenerationist. I believe baptism is part of God's plan, and we need to obey that. But what Paul say? When you're put under that water, you die. I've never baptized anybody that kept breathing when I stuck them underwater. You hold your breath because you don't want to suck that water down. What's the first thing that happens when you raise them out of the water? I think that's why God commands baptism. Paul said he's going to raise us to a new life. Now that's talking about spiritual. Now we're going to talk about the physical. Because Jesus spoke of two different resurrections. In that conversation that he had with the Jews, where he said the dead will hear the voice and they will live, he said something else. He said, do not marvel at this. They're still standing there scratching their head over the first thing he said. For an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. How many? All. We're studying cults on Wednesday night, and some of the cults teach only certain people will be raised from the dead. You're not reading the same book I'm reading that said all. Doesn't say all, half the people, it says all. Whoever's in the tombs, whoever's in the sea. In Revelation 20, John said, I saw death and hell deliver up the dead that were in it, and I saw the sea give up the dead that were in it, and I saw all the dead standing before the throne of God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the things in the books. I've heard people say, God doesn't keep track. Evidently, he does. If he's got books. You know, kings had scribes. I think God's got angels that say, okay. I'm sure glad that the blood of Christ blotted my books out. Yes. So Jesus said, the time is coming when all the dead, in the tombs, you can't misunderstand that. Everybody in the tombs is going to hear my voice. And there's a blessing and a warning with that. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, did Jesus validate his claim to Martha? You remember Martha went in the house and got Mary. I don't know if Mary just didn't want to talk to him, but she was the first one. And then she went back and told her sister, the master's here and he's calling for you. And Mary went out. What'd she do? The same thing. She said, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping and Martha weeping and the Jews weeping, what'd he do? He wept. Now, I've heard people speculate, well, he knew what he's going to do and he hated bringing Lazarus back from the dead. That's not what I think. God fully experienced our humanity. That song we sang, Does Jesus Care? A man acquainted with grief and suffering. God was touched with the grief of those people there. And he wept with them. What did Paul say to the church? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. That's called being empathetic. Identify with them. Jesus identified with the pain and the grief those people was feeling at the loss of Lazarus. But he didn't leave him there. I got a Baptist minister friend that I told my wife, if I die before him, I'd like him to do my funeral. Don't get upset about that. But I'll tell you what, if I could have anybody I want do my funeral, it'd be Jesus. Because there'd be a real good chance he'd go, I get up. You know, it ain't time yet. Get up, Rick. Said, then Jesus deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. I like the King James. By this time he stinketh. Don't open up that rocketh, because he thinketh. I get tongue-tied trying to do that anymore. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Well, yeah, but come on, Lord. He's been dead 4 days. He's decomposing. That's why there's an odor. He's kind of past the point of no return. So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had been dead came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. And a bunch of Jews scurried over the hill. Yeah. Now I said, many of the Jews that were there and saw what he did believed in him. But it said some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what he had done. Always got to be that group. I can see them running him and going, you know what? You remember Lazarus? He ain't dead anymore. Jesus called him out of the tomb. Now these very men that had asked him for sign, this always boggles my mind. You know, I told you earlier, they said, what sign are you going to show? These same people said, what are we to do? This man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. These are the guys that said, show us a sign. Now that's quite a sign. Did they rejoice? Did they go apologize? Did they confess him and say, okay? It says, from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. How wicked is that? Extremely wicked. Lazarus and Mary and Martha gave a dinner party after his resurrection. No wonder. They had a welcome home party for Lazarus, and Jesus and his disciples were there. Well, the Bible says many of the Jews came not only to see Jesus, but to see Lazarus. I don't think Lazarus had much of a chance to eat, because I know if I'd have been there, I'd have said, what was it like? What's it like to die, Lazarus? What happened? What did you experience? Do you remember anything? It said, so the chief priest made plans to put Lazarus to death, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. One of the saddest statements I've read in the Gospels is in John. He said, though he did all these signs, they still did not believe. What else does he have to do, church? I've been guilty of that. Oh God, can't you just do this? Can't you just do that? And I get to thinking, what else does he have to do? Jesus Christ bore our sin on that cross. He took the curse of the law upon himself so we could be justified and made righteous in the sight of God. If God never does another thing in your life, he's done some. Now Jesus warned us in the last days there would be false prophets, false messiahs who would seem to be able to do miracles. I hear people sometimes talking about, did you hear what happened here? Well, I'm a little skeptical of that. I'll be honest with you. Well, wait a minute. Well, how do I know a false miracle from a true miracle? If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you'll know. Because Jesus said he'll teach you the truth. I told you the Holy Spirit's kept me out of cults. He's kept me away from false teaching and preaching. I've heard preachers say things that sounded great, and the Spirit of God say, nope, that's not me. Thank you. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Yeah. And Jesus said, even if you die, you're going to live again. That's the promise we have in Christ. That's why I told my wife, I don't care what you do with my body. I'm thinking cremation. I've had people argue that, and well, that's not scriptural. I haven't found a scripture yet that forbids it. Now, I'm just saying. I haven't found anything yet. Donate it to science. Give them something to wonder about for a while. You know, I don't care what you do with this body, because one day the Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout. And he's going to say, Rick, get up. And I'm going to scoot. I'm going to meet him in the air. I won't be fat. I'll still be pretty. But I won't have these back aches and arthritis pains and this heart condition. I'll be a new person. I hope I'm kind of buffed up, but, you know, it's whatever he wants me to look like. That's what I'm going to look like. Am I afraid of dying? Yeah, there's a part of death that scares me. I sat with a lot of saints when they were dying and encouraged them that Jesus tasted death for us. But I'm here to tell you, when it comes my turn, I don't know how I'm going to face that. But I can look past the grave. The Bible says the last enemy Jesus will conquer will be death. And I just told you what I read in Revelation yesterday. And death and hell were thrown into the lake of fire. And the scriptures fulfilled, death, where is your victory? Grave, where is your sting? Praise God. Jesus is willing to give you new life now, a spiritual resurrection, and he has promised that when they put you in the ground, you ain't going to be there forever. What a God. What an assurance we have. How do I know that the resurrection of the dead is real? Because Jesus was raised from the dead, and now he lives forever, and he's promised us that he'll do the same for us. We all going to die once. Unless we're here when he comes back. But that'll be it. For I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth had passed away. And I saw the city, New Jerusalem, descending from heaven like a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men. There'll be no more death. No more sorrow, no more pain. And God himself will wipe every tear from their eyes. Do you believe this? Let's live like it. Let's live that victorious life we've been called to live in Christ. Don't duck your head to the liberals and the atheists and the argumenters. I don't even know if that's a word. The arguers. Don't duck your head. Man, I have a hope the world doesn't have. You have a hope the world doesn't have. But we need to share that hope. Yeah. Will everybody receive it? No. They won't. But bless God, some may. And just think, James said, you have helped cover a multitude of sins. Would you stand with me this morning? Ask yourself that question, do I believe this? We're talking about the I ams of Jesus. I think we should ask ourselves, every one of those, do I believe this? Do I believe he is light? That in him there is no darkness? Do I believe he is the bread of life? Do I believe that he is the door to the sheep, that no one can be saved except through him? Because this world will lie to you. I don't know how many people told me, well, there's a lot of ways to get to God. You know, you Christians, you just got one way and we got another. There's only one. And that's Jesus Christ. Church, we have the good news and we're called to share it. Don't raise your hand. When's the last time you ever talked to somebody about Jesus Christ and the hope in your life? Well, I'm a closet Christian, brother. Well, it's time to get out of the closet. If we will make ourselves available, God will open the door. I've had it happen more than once. Maybe talking to somebody, and you're not even talking about God. You're not talking about death. And then all of a sudden, they'll ask a question that opens the door. Peter said, be ready to give an answer.